150th episode, Megan.
What?
That's right.
It's our 150th episode?
Yes.
Maria, this feels really disingenuous.
Why?
Because I knew that.
Oh, okay. Well, happy 150th. Anyway, people still say happy birthday to you, even though you know it's your birthday.
No, I actually only allow one person to tell me happy birthday. And then once, like, and it's a surprise. Mm-hmm. And once that one person has told me.
You're done.
And I realize that it's my birthday, no one else can tell me.
That's why you got so mad at me.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
That's why you got so mad at me last time, huh?
Yeah, that is.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm really sorry, but like, you need to understand. I only want to be told happy birthday.
Well, I'm saying happy 150th episode to all the listeners out there as well, because some people have been with us since the very beginning, Megan.
That's right. If you've stuck with us for 150 episodes, or you started listening and then you went back and you listened to our whole backlog.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You're awesome.
You're impressive.
Some people have been asking if we're going to do something special for a 150th episode. The answer is every episode is special. You're an idiot.
I mean, if you don't think this is special, screw you.
Actually, what we really want to say is we're going to do a Christmas special, and that will kind of be taking the place of our 150th anniversary celebration.
I mean, if you count anniversaries really by weeks,
yeah,
which some people do.
Yeah, when you're really early dating, you count your anniversaries
exactly,
by weeks.
Yeah. And we're still in the honeymoon of our relationship.
We are.
So we still count it by weeks.
So yeah, we're doing a Christmas episode featuring Nicol Bolas, the Planeswalker, Elder Dragon. He'll be here.
Yes. He's going to tell us all about the evil plans that he's been hatching, because everyone knows there's two things he's always hatching.
Yep.
Evil plans.
And that egg on his
and
head.
And that egg on his head.
We're also going to do some magic themed Christmas carols, so you're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be the week of Christmas, our Christmas special. But
Absolutely.
This week, we've got some great stuff coming up for you, including we have a For the Noobs, and we're going to talk about metagame, as well as some spoiler speculation. There's been a lot of spoilers about Oath of the Gate. Spoiler speculation, rather, about Oath of the Gatewatch recently.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about that. We also have some more listener questions that you guys have written in. We're going to answer you.
That's right. We didn't get around to some mailbag questions last week because they came in after we had recorded. So we're going to go ahead and answer those anyways.
If you guys are just listening to this in your ear holes, keep in mind you can watch it with your eye holes too. Keep in mind you need eyeballs inside those eye holes to watch it, but you can. Mm-hmm. You can do that by going over to Tularean Community College's YouTube page. This video will be live on there the Friday after this episode is released.
That's right. And we don't have a peacock in the background.
No.
But you can see Maria's Christmas
you
tree.
You can kind of see the peacock behind you.
Oh, yeah. You can?
Yeah,
where?
See?
Oh, found it.
So
it's like a Where's Waldo.
Where's the peacock?
So check it out, not just to watch the podcast, but to play Where's Waldo with Maria's with Maria's house.
My cat walks through frame every so often. You get to see my tree, as Megan said.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a great look into my personal life. If you
want
to watch this video.
Your personal life rotates around a picture of a peacock and a Christmas tree.
Correct.
I mean, you're just like so many of us out there.
You can also find these videos on magicthamateuring.com, as well as our 100th episode, which is a musical episode, which is another episode we did something special for. So all of our back episodes, magicthamateuring.com, check that out. We're going to have a P.O. box for everybody to send rhinos to Megan for Christmas, because she really wants them, you guys.
I want to just say thank you to the very kind listener who sent me 4 rhinos on Magic Online the other day.
She made air quotes
I made air quotes around
very kind and
yes
thank you
just to be clear
thank
you, that was really nice.
So that's gonna be happening too. Another exciting development is these shirts Megan and I are wearing.
What?
If you watch the video, you can see our awesome Good Luck High Five shirts.
Yes.
Check it out.
Nice.
They're really cool.
I feel like I'm being like really cool in class.
Because you're leaning back.
I'm leaning back.
Yeah.
Like, what's up, teach? Tell me what's in today's lesson.
Were you one of those kids?
Oh, yeah. Have you? I mean, you've met me, so you know that I was a real tough kid in high school.
Uh-huh.
I just exude tough kid aura.
Yes, you do.
You're like, that girl's a troublemaker.
You can get these shirts by subscribing to our show on patreon.com/mtacast. If you subscribe for $5 a month for 3 months or more, you get one for absolutely free, minus all the money you gave us. But it's free on top of that.
But you're doing lovely work, which we so appreciate, supporting the podcast.
Right. You can also buy these on our website. Not yet. Don't go there yet, but they'll be up there very soon. We are redoing the website, so you can kind of see our soft launch. If you want to check out the new version of the website, it looks a lot better and it's easier to use. And we'll soon have our shirts for sale on there. So yes. Keep your eyes peeled.
You can also check out my new dryer sheets soft launch on the website. If you want to eliminate static cling in your spacesuit,
soft launch. For the noobs, metagame.
Hey, what is metagame?
Oh my gosh, what a question.
It really is a meta question, if you will. Because it deals not with the day-to-day and moment-to-moment card interactions of Magic, but it deals with the all-encompassing interactions in Grand Prix, in sets, in blocks, in standard decks, in modern decks, in legacy, vintage. I don't know what's going on there.
So you might you hear somebody talk about metagame like this, like, hey, the metagame's really slow right now. I'm going to capitalize on that by playing this kind of deck or whatever.
Exactly. Or it's like, oh man, the metagame is like 60% Dark Jeskai because we've all just turned into Sith and we're fine with that apparently.
I think you could say a metagame means the environment, the specific play environment of a specific kind of format or event.
Absolutely. And so this was originally based on a listener question.
Yeah.
Someone wrote in being like, hey, what is metagame? Which is exactly what you just said. It's sort of like the overall environment, specifically relating to not are there a lot of tall people at your store? Like, oh man, the metagame at my really LGS tall. Is really tall. Shit, everyone's like 6 foot plus. I feel very short when I walk in there. No, but it's talking about specifically, yes, like what kind of decks are really prevalent and what kind of decks are doing well, which are usually pretty related. And metagame is really good to know about because it means that you can take advantage of it.
Sure.
You know maybe what's going to be very good in a given metagame.
For instance, if a metagame, like you could even... I suppose. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody talk about metagame in draft.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did, you could say, well, this is a really slow format. I'm going to capitalize on it by playing something really fast.
Yeah, take absolutely. Advantage of them. I would say, like, I think people do. It's you're less likely to hear specifically the word metagame, but people still do talk about it. They're just less likely, I think. They kind of use different terms, but they're still essentially talking about it.
Yeah.
Like you said, because they talk about, it's more usually in terms of like, oh, this format is really fast. This format is really slow. Just kind of knowing that. If it's really aggressive, if it's really dirtily, if it really favors drafting white, if it really non-favors drafting green, like a certain format that we
what
know.
What could you be talking about,
I
Megan?
I don't know. Maybe there's just been some format in draft recently that people think that green is no good.
I haven't heard of it.
I mean, it was just, it's sheer speculation.
You know, I went to a modern GP in Omaha many moons ago, and I played Boggles because I don't like fun. No, I played Boggles because it's a silly little deck, and it's easy to pilot, and it's a lot of fun when it comes together. Mm-hmm. And I played it, and it was turned out to be very good in that metagame. So that meant that if I had known what I was doing better playing Boggles, I probably would have day two'd just because like it was so well positioned in that current metagame environment. There wasn't a whole lot of hate for it. People weren't expecting to play against it, which is another aspect of metagame. Like, what do you assume other players will be playing so that you can take advantage of it and play something that will get them or whatever?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it could be something as so it starts out with like a bigger macro decision of like, what kind of deck am I going to play? Maybe if your local store metagame is really heavy on Dark Jeskai, for instance, well, then maybe you'll be like, oh, I'm going to play Esper Control because that has a good matchup, or I'm going to play Green Red Eldrazi because depending on how they sideboard, that has a good matchup. Which is also, so that's like the macro decision. And then there is a smaller decision of, it also influences what are you going to sideboard.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things that people don't realize, and definitely something that it took me a long time to learn, is when you're net decking, which is when you pull a deck list off the internet and you just basically copy it. A lot of sideboards you don't want to copy card for card, even if you're net decking, because the sideboard was built, that person built it with what they thought that tournament environment was going into it.
That's a good point. I mean, the metagame shifts so very frequently that it can be hard to stay on top of what you should be sideboarding, what cards you should be main decking even, depending on what other people are playing. And standard, for me, is challenging because it rotates so often and the metagame changes really from weekend to weekend.
Yeah, that, it super does.
I find it personally a little hard to keep up with. That doesn't mean I don't like watching it and checking other, and like watching other people put in the hard work. But yeah, it's something that you've got to keep on top of. Formats like Modern or Legacy, for instance, are going to change less frequently. Yeah. So sideboarding and main decks usually stay around the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So like an instance of standard sideboarding is back at the beginning, like right when the Pro Tour happened, for instance, Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar, you weren't going to see Infinite Obliteration in sideboards necessarily because Green-Red Eldrazi wasn't a deck yet. Now, however, Green-Red or Green-Blue Eldrazi totally is a deck. And so you're going to see people packing usually one Infinite Obliteration if they're playing black, and maybe as many as two or three, depending on how many, you know, Eldrazi decks they're expecting to meet, because that card is very good against those decks.
Yeah, it's specifically crafted.
It is specifically incredibly hateful against those decks. And the same thing goes with, you know, if you're playing white, is there a lot of Atarko red decks in your metagames? And okay, you're going to pack a lot of like Surge of Righteousness, a lot of Erishin Clerics. So it's those kind of decisions. Knowing your metagame can really, I think, very effectively help you sideboard to the point where like you can win or lose entire matches.
Oh, absolutely.
Entire rounds of Magic based on, did you have a good picture of the metagame going in?
You know, when I played Boggles, I keep coming back to this because this was, you know, my one sort of constructed event that I've played in. Spellskite is a very effective hate card against Boggles.
Quite good.
And most people have one, at least, in their sideboard to help them beat Boggles. Because Boggles can be, let's face it, a difficult deck to beat if it gets a good draw, which it is very capable of doing. And I had cards which were in response to people sideboarding in Spellskite. So I could go into match two pretty much knowing that they're going to have a Spellskite in there, and I've got to be able to deal with it when it comes at me, because it's going to happen. And it's going to shut my deck down unless I have some way to kill it.
Yep. Be like, come at me, bro. Come at me, Spellskite.
So that's like sideboarding in response to what I assume my opponent's going to sideboard.
Absolutely. Which is a totally like... It's like outmaneuvering. During sideboard, trying to outmaneuver each other with like, what do I think they'll bring in?
Well, then I'm not going to bring
in
Spellskite.
Well, then I'm not going to bring this in. Which is something interesting, I think, that happens in the... in like the more controlling decks right now that still have Jace, Vryn's Prodigy. It's very interesting to be like, okay, how much removal do I think my opponent is going to leave in?
Yeah.
Because they know that I'll leave in Jace, and how much are they going to take out? Like, is it worth it to bring in like Dragon Lords out of the sideboard or stuff like that? Because maybe if they keep in all of their removal and I don't bring in Dragon Lords, I'll blank a lot of their cards. So it's really, metagame is something that's really important to keep on top of. And some of the best ways are, one, if you're going to FNM every week, then you probably have a pretty good idea of what your store's metagame is like, and even like what your area's metagame is like. So that way, if you're heading out to like a pre-PTQ or something in your area, it's probably good to play a couple of FNMs before then, so you're like, oh yeah, hey, I kind of have a sense of what people might be bringing to this sucker.
Yeah, and if you're going to a bigger event like a GP, it's a good idea to keep on track of all the recent events that have happened over the past couple of weekends that were larger scale. SCG events, perhaps, other GPs. And check into that and see. You can see the percentage of the field breakdown. 60% of the decks were this, you know, 40 were this, whatever. And that information is widely available online. Yes.
Wildly available.
It's wildly available.
Available.
Spoiler speculation.
Oh man, you guys, we talked two episodes ago about some unverified spoilers that have come out. We mean that they are not yet technically part of spoiler season.
The government hasn't told us they exist, but we've taken pictures.
They're illicit. They're conspiracy theory spoilers.
We know, government. Look, you can't keep it hidden forever.
So we don't know if these are the real dealio or not. But either way, they're really fun to discuss.
Yeah.
So one of the newer ones that has come out that, to be fair, does not seem as legit as the first three. I'll say that.
Which one? The land?
Yeah, the land.
Ah, sure.
Which is, what's it called again?
I don't know. I pulled up the other one.
Oh, never mind. We'll start with the Russian one first.
Sure. So this one is a creature that was spoiled. It was in Russian. So I'm going to read a rough translation. This is probably not what it's actually going to be called once the set comes out, if it is real. All right. Mina and Den, wild born, two red green.
Yes.
Legendary creature, elf ally.
Okay.
You may play an additional land during each of your turns. That doesn't surprise me. That seems legit.
That seems pretty cool. Yeah.
Red green, return a land you control to its owner's hand. Target creature gains trample until end of turn. It is a 4/4.
Nice.
A rare, I believe.
That does seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah, seems pretty cool. Seems totally in line with what red and green wants to do. It's a landfall deck. You can play two lands a turn for landfall. I mean, sick.
Or ramp. Red or green ramp. Is also a ramp color.
Yeah.
So people were thinking that this seems like a replacement, or not a replacement, but like an alternative Oracle of Moldaya, which was an original card that was, or not an original, but it was a card that also allowed you to play two lands per turn. It was sort of like a merge of this card and Courser of Kruphix, because you also played with the top card revealed. And could play if it was a land. So this seems super sweet.
Yeah, I really hope this is real because before green went down the toilet tubes, I loved playing landfall and I was just smashing face with it. Which is a good note to say that a format changes the more that it gets played. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Just based on what other people are doing, you know, a reference to the metagame earlier in the show.
Yeah, people are definitely hoping that green does not stay so terrible.
And this card is so good that I would you know, love to first pick it and see if I can make a landfall deck work with it. Because if you have this card in play and you're playing landfall, like, landfall is already pretty devastating. If you can get some Valakut Predators down and, like, that Leopard, even, like, I don't even care. It's a one drop. It can be a 2/2. People play it in standard. I play it in draft. I mean, not now because I don't draft green anymore, sad face, but earlier I did. And like, it's already pretty devastating when you play one land for those Valakut Predators and they're like, well, I can't block. I mean, what can they what can block a 4/4 until probably turn 5? Nothing. And then you play two lands? Excuse me?
What? This also, I think, could be very sweet in standard, which is, I think, it was it a mythic or was it just a rare?
It was a rare.
It was either way, it's legendary. So that you can't go absolutely totally nuts. Maria's cat is like exploring the light that's on the table.
It's like, this is like art what he's doing right now. Someone take a picture of this. Do it again.
Anyways.
You won't.
Anyways, it's going to be very super sweet. There were definitely decks in the past that took advantage of a card like this, and I can definitely see standard decks going forward that take advantage of this pretty sweet ability to put two lands into play. I'm sad that it's not at the same time as Courser of Kruphix, because
what do you want, Megan? Everything? Beautiful.
Yes, I want everything.
Figures. Another one, which Megan was alluding to earlier, which she doesn't think is as plausible.
But I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay. This one's called Mystic Gate, and it is an expedition.
Yes.
Tap, add waste to your mana pool, which is that funny little diamond symbol we've been hearing about.
Which also, there's speculation that going forward, if a land adds like a generic colorless to a mana pool,
it'll just be waste.
It'll just be that symbol instead of like one. In there.
I think it's weird to call it waste, actually, if it's going to be an evergreen sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I will add waste.
Waste.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because lands produce mana, colorless produce waste.
What?
Like garbage.
Before they just produce generic.
I know, but have you ever heard of a generic food?
Yes.
What?
Like anything that I purchase from Target?
Target brand food.
Target brand? Yeah.
I mean, like, there's no, like, I mean, I suppose, like, a ready-to-eat, like, MRE. That's a generic food. That's, like, a waste mana.
Have you ever had an MRE?
No.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. My dad had, some extras.
Oh, and you ate them?
Yeah. I don't know if it was my dad or my stepmom. They were both in different branches of the armed forces. And one time I was just like, yeah, I want to like try that. It was super disgusting.
Yeah.
But it has that crazy like high nutrient peanut butter, which is also gross. Like you don't think peanut butter can be gross, but it's gross.
Anyways. Tap to produce one generic waste mana.
One okay. MRE.
Or you can play a blue-white, or you can tap blue-white hybrid to add white-white, blue-white, or blue-blue to your mana pool.
Yes, which this is a land cycle that has occurred before.
Yep.
I don't actually know what they were in originally, but we've seen this cycle of lands, which is, it's essentially a dual land saying, you know, you would put this in a blue-white deck, and it allows you to produce blue-blue or white-white or white-white out of this land and any blue-white land.
So you're not really gaining any mana, but you are fixing your mana with this card.
Exactly. So say that you have an island, but you need to produce white-white for something.
No,
that's
don't
pretty
worry.
Sweet. You can produce white-white with this land.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah, some people don't think that this spoiler is real, but I'm undecided. I don't know.
I am totally on the fence about this one. I could see it going either way. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, it would make sense that they would, you know, they put one, they haven't said anything else about expeditions, about like, are they going to be an Oath of the Gatewatch, like are they going to,
yeah, we didn't know,
and the first set of them didn't cover every single type of rare dual land that we've seen, like the temples, for instance.
Yeah,
we didn't get those, we didn't get this type of land, so you know, on the one hand, I can kind of see it being plausible.
Yeah,
so who knows?
Who knows? We're going to have to wait and see till Oath of the Gatewatch is released in January.
Yeah.
People were saying, like, this land solves, you know, people were wondering about the colorless problem. Like, oh, is this going to solve the issue of, like, what taps to produce waste, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, this does. Somebody emailed us a question asking us if we thought Birds of Paradise could tap to produce waste. Like, are they going to have to back engineer the rules so that birds can produce waste?
And I would say that if you've ever been in an office building downtown, you know very well that birds always produce waste. Just a lot of it, honestly.
Oh, you know all too well.
All birds produce waste. But actually, honestly, I think that if this kind of goes the route of being waste or a generic or a colorless mana, I don't know that it would. Because to me, this still is colorless. And Birds of Paradise taps for any color.
Yeah, I don't think it would tap for this.
Exactly. It's tapping for mana with an attribute, not without the attribute. Waste, to me, is still without the attribute of color.
What do you think about a card like...
That's my opinion.
What's it called? Lifespring Druid, who taps to produce any color of mana? Do you think waste would be produced there?
I kind of feel the same way. I think anything that says any color is not going to produce it.
Interesting.
Again, I could be totally wrong, but again, to me, like, color means that it has an attribute of being a color of mana, and waste is colorless. Like, it still is lacking that attribute.
Right. But yeah, to me, again, that makes sense to me as well, but then it's like, oh, well, nothing produced waste.
Except wastelands or lands like this or any of the like any not any but lots of dual lands like the like pain lands.
Yeah,
those can all tap, and you know, like, it deals you a damage if you tap for blue or red, for instance, but it doesn't deal you one if you tap for one colorless. So lands like that do
you think that knows? Waste is the same thing as colorless?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that it's going to be, again, like, something along the lines of, like, colorless mana, in general, you can pay for if it's, with colors or with colorless. So if it's, like, three white-white in a casting cost, that three, you could pay with anything. But if it was, like, three waste-waste, it would have to be, it could be three of anything, but then two that are specifically colorless.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the more that I thought about it today, the more I'm like, whew, Wizards is going to have to write some interesting rules text. Like, I'm sure
they
that there's
getting
someone
bored over there anyway.
Exactly. There's someone working on the rules at WotC who's just like, motherfucker, shit.
How could
they
write
a draft and they're like,
us.
No. There's like, they're in a room where the walls are just chalkboards and they're covered
it's
in
like
writing.
It's like a Beautiful Mind in there.
Exactly. It totally is. Except when someone else walks in, it's not just a shed covered in newspaper clippings.
Spoiler alert!
If you haven't seen A Beautiful Mind by now, I'm not responsible for spoiling that film for you. You just should have seen it.
There is some kind of rule, like, you know, it's 3 years.
Something like that. At this point, that movie's been like over a decade. So
yeah.
Also, you should really read that book. It's a great book.
Oh yeah. Is it John also called The Beautiful Mind? Yeah.
Super interesting.
Okay.
Like yeah, an incredible genius. Also,
a beautiful mind, perhaps. A beautiful mind. Listener questions.
Sweet. We had, as we mentioned, we had a couple of leftover mailbag questions. Maria thought that she turned out the bag and shook all the crumbs out of there, but she didn't. There's still some mail. So we're going to go ahead and answer a couple of those questions from last week that we didn't get to.
So we've had three separate people email us asking how they can get their wife involved in playing Magic. They're obviously somebody who plays. So here's a question from Kevin. I'll just read how he's worded it. My question to you two is, what got you started playing Magic? If it isn't covered in older podcasts I haven't gotten to yet, which it is, but we'll go over briefly. I'm trying to get my wife to give the game a try, and I think it could be something fun to do together. I know that it's very possible that it may not just be something, may not be something she enjoys, but I want to make sure we give it a fair shot first.
Yeah.
And that's very similar to two other people asked the same thing, so.
I will preface this with, like, do you know what? It's totally not a game for everybody.
Yeah.
Which is as hard as it is to understand because we love it so much. And we know that all of you love it so much. But like some people, it's just sort of like, it's just like chess is not my thing.
Right.
Like chess is boring as hell.
Like I don't want to, I don't want to play, you know. Yeah.
To be fair, I always wanted to play, to like chess. And I think I love Magic because it has the elements of chess that wanted to like. Anyways, point is, as much as we want it to be for everybody and we can't imagine it not being for someone, sometimes it's not for someone.
I mean, Magic does a pretty good job at trying to be for everybody, I'll say that. I mean, there's a competitive scene if you like to be competitive. So people like Megan and I, we like to be competitive. So we play competitively.
Just by nature of there being so many formats even.
Right. And Commander, some people like to play Commander just with their friends. Some people just make only home brews and play at home at the kitchen table. Like there's so many ways to play that, you know, if perhaps your wife doesn't like one of the ways that you show her, maybe she just likes to play in a different way than you do. That's also something that could happen.
Absolutely. So that's one of maybe our first suggestions is sort of like, and the same goes for like if you're doing EDH or Commander, or if you're doing like kitchen table Magic, whatever format, also trying out different decks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe they don't like aggro, or they don't like control, or they don't like playing white, or they don't like playing green, or something like that.
Well, when Megan and I sorry for my throughout this episode, when Megan and I started playing, we started playing with decks that were constructed specifically to help us learn the game, and they were monocolored decks. So that's a piece of advice I would give to you. So there was like a red deck, a green deck, a blue deck, and that's just what they were.
Yeah, totally. And those are the and then I think from there we upgraded to some of the dual decks. So yeah, that's a great starter point, is to get like a couple of starter decks. Because it definitely simplifies the game a little bit. And it gives you, like, it gives you something that's unchanging while you learn all of the complex rules.
Right. You could, for instance, just go into, like, M15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And pick out the easiest cards that you think are in there that you think could make a good, like, sort of draft-style deck with, like, a nice curve, some derpy creatures, just, like, 2/2s, 3/1s, whatever, and just put it in there and just make it monocolored, and then you have that deck, and then she plays, like, a white version of the same thing, and they kind of, you know, they'll fit their themes of their colors. This is a good way to teach about the color pie, and without complicated mechanics in there to start off, and then gradually increase the difficulty as you go.
Yeah, totally. The dual decks that WotC sells are also really nice because they're built to play well off of each other. They're built to, like, interact in interesting ways, which I think is nice. Again, it'll give you, like, a set deck, like a set, you know, number of variables that you're having to work with while you're learning this. But at the same time, there's still going to be interesting play between the decks.
And the way Megan and I started learning was with these monocolor decks, as I just mentioned. And she made a good point in that you don't like to play every deck. I recall playing with a green deck that I was just kind of like confused by. I remember being confused because it was not really easy. It had animation of lands in it.
Yeah.
I remember. And I was just like, what is happening to me? And you're like, oh, this line's a creature now. And I'm like, no. That is not a sentence. Because I didn't understand that now I'm like surrounded by animated lands every day. No big deal. But like,
oh man, I just go out and there's animated lands all around me.
But like then
I get any land animated. Anyways.
Yeah, but then I had a red deck and I was like, oh, just kidding. I get what this is trying to do. And that's because it was more natural for my play style and I was more attracted to the game that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing which we talked about last episode is also when someone I think was just talking about teaching people to play or learning to play is to find, like, if you've been playing for a long time, don't make the person that you're teaching, whether it's your wife or anyone that you're teaching, don't make them constantly play against you.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be very frustrating for them.
They're
going to
lose all the time.
Exactly. Actually. And like, it's just because there's such a learning curve all the time. Like, when I just think back to, I think even when we started the podcast, sometimes I listen to old stuff and I'm just like, we were idiots.
Yeah, I know. Like,
holy shit. Even the things that I thought 1 year into playing Magic.
Oh, yeah.
Were just sometimes so devastatingly wrong.
And, like, if we listen to this episode in 2 years, we're going to be like, sure we'll what be like, were we thinking?
We'll be like, God, those asshats.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it can be very frustrating, no matter even, and I feel like it's even worse sometimes, at least for me, if it's like, you're an experienced player, but you're going to like take it easy on them.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I can tell.
I know what you're doing.
Just give me someone else who's also learning the game, which I feel like it really helped us get into it.
And we've said that on the show before, having a buddy, a learning buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Is a really big deal. So I would say learning buddy.
A learning buddy.
Exactly. And getting some good, getting some starter decks that play well off of each other so you can have good games, but have a set number of variables.
I think I'd like to know too, like, what aspect of the game might your wife be most interested in? You know, is it like, is she really into the fantasy aspect of the game? Well, there's ways to play that up through the themes that you can build in decks
too. Absolutely. Like, there's a wonderful, if they're like, oh, I'm not sure about this game, but this art is really cool, then like totally get into the Vorthos community. You know, there's tons of people out there who love talking Magic art. So maybe this new player is only ever going to be a casual player, but they'll be like, holy crap, I love the artwork. And I, you know, they might get super into that. So you can still share the hobby of Magic.
Right.
But you both just kind of approach it from different angles.
And, you know, I would, you know, I think Magic's such a great game that I think anybody who likes games in general, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say probably will like Magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that the only people who like games but who don't like Magic are the people who like just don't have the time in their life to commit to it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just like, I can't.
My brain needs to think about other things right now.
I have a job and a significant other and a child. And it's like, get over yourself.
Whoa, Megan. Whoa.
Anyways,
some priorities. People thought that you were my child on this podcast. Did you know that?
Wait, are you sure that they thought that I was your child?
I don't know which way they thought. Maybe they thought I was your child.
I don't know.
Update, everyone. Neither of us are either of each other's childs. No,
definitely not. Definitely not. I feel like they were joking. I feel like that person was joking.
I hope so. Shake of the fist.
But we are stepsisters.
Yeah. That's a lie.
That's a super lie. Sorry.
This question is coming from Robert. Dear Megan, you're pretty hard on Siege Rhino, but would you play this card? Sphinx's Rhino. 1BW-WG 4/5 trample. When Sphinx's Rhino enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and draw 2 cards.
Oh! First of all, Sphinx's Rhino is a great name.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you just for putting the combination of Sphinx and Rhino together.
Sphinx's Rhino. What does that mean?
I don't even know.
Okay.
Oh, that is really...
This card is insane, by the way.
You gain 2 life and you draw 2 cards?
Yeah, and has trample into 4/5 for 1BW-WG.
1BW-WG. Yeah, that card is insane.
That card's insane, Robert. Everybody would play that card.
Do you know what? It says draw 2 cards, so I have to.
Megan will play this Rhino.
I have to.
Megan, would you play a bad Rhino that says draw 2 cards? Would you play for 6 mana... a 1/1 Rhino that drew 2 cards?
No. Okay, in some formats, yes.
Yeah.
But usually no.
Would you play a 4-mana 0/1 Rhino that drew 2 cards?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually would. Mm-hmm. In most formats.
All right, Wizards, the ball's in your court.
Give me that 0/1 Rhino.
That draws
with
cards.
Trample. You have to make sure it has trample because
we're in charging badger territory here.
Oh, boy. All right, let me see. We had another question that I'm searching for.
Sure. If you guys don't know about Megan's Rhino deal, it's that she she hates Siege Rhino. And if you don't really know, do. You've been living under a rock and you may be an ostrich.
This is the first time you've ever listened to this podcast.
Go to the doctor and check that you're not an ostrich. Knock, knock, dear doctor, am I an ostrich? You know, they'll be able to tell you yes or no, probably right off the bat, unless they're a very bad doctor.
Or they're just like not familiar with birds and people.
Yeah, but in that case, they're probably, you know, they shouldn't be a doctor.
But what if they're really great with hearts? Like, they no. can't tell you if you're a bird or a person, but, like, they're the best hearts. Okay, Maria.
No!
Maria, wait, want... no, listen, listen. Okay, you have to have open heart surgery to okay. save your life.
Okay.
And
I was telling this to stall, and now you're not even
okay,
looking
wait,
for it.
The best heart surgeon in the world has an availability, and they're willing to operate on your heart. But the catch is that they don't know the difference between birds and people.
How do I know I'm not going to get bird heart surgery?
I'm just saying, the best heart surgeon in the world.
Ugh, whatever. I feel like the best heart surgeon in the world who doesn't know the difference between people and birds might accidentally perform bird heart surgery on me or human heart surgery on a bird. And I don't want to take that risk.
All right. I mean, I guess you're just going to have a subpar bird surgery.
I mean, bird hearts versus human hearts, the size difference there alone should tip him off. If he can't tell the difference in sizes, I feel like that's also an issue.
Look, not everyone can tell the difference in size.
What are you trying to say, Megan?
I'm just saying that some people can't tell the difference in the size difference between a bird and a person.
Do you have something you want to tell everybody?
I'm a bird.
Megan has bird bones. They're hollow inside.
I'm sorry, I can't, why can't I find this? We had a question.
Do you remember what it was?
No. And I told you, do you remember what it was?
I have some kind of memory that's tickling at the back of my ivories, but it's not coming to the front of my brain.
You have a keyboard in your mouth?
Brain.
You have a keyboard in your brain?
Yes.
Okay.
A keyboard in my brain. Let me take this brief pause to tell you all about Magic the Amateuring, everybody. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your brain or your ears or your eyes. Don't listen to it with your mouth. That's creepy and weird.
This was it. What card was the card that gave you the knowledge that you love magic?
Oh, great question.
This listener, James, says mine was Topin Freeblade.
Yeah, great card.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I know.
Megan,
I know.
Is her answer is obvious. You
Sphinx
guys already
revelation.
Know. Yeah.
Oh.
Snooze alert.
I have said before, and
you're
I
like
will say
like a broken
it,
record.
I will say it again. I sincerely believe that one of my regrets in life is that I didn't cast more Sphinx's Revelations while I had the opportunity. I guess a legitimate regret I have.
No.
I'm not saying it's my biggest regret. Okay. I'm just saying that it's a real regret that I have.
Oh, God.
Like, I actually sincerely regret that. Maria.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that my first card that made me think I love magic was actually a forest.
What?
Yeah, because what I recall is we both fell in love with magic really early. I mm-hmm. think straight off we were like, when can we play? Let's get together and play. And we were like playing on the floor. We didn't care. It was scrappy. Mm-hmm. When I saw a forest, for some reason, like the art enticed me. And the idea that we had lands out in front of us to pay for the spells that we were casting seemed really cool. And I hadn't played any other game where I had like... you know, kind of like, what's the word? Like money sitting in front of me. And then
so
I had to...
never played Monopoly?
No.
Oh, good. I mean, you're better for it.
Oh, okay. And I had to use that, but it didn't look like money. It looked like forests and mountains and you know, islands. And that was just like different and weird. And I was like, yeah, this is something completely new that my brain has never come across before. And I love that. You know, when I sit down to play a game and it's a new game, magic was so entirely new. It was newer than any other new that I had ever knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was an experience and that I had never even close to experience with any other game. Like, I was used to Balderdash. I was used to Catan. That was probably the most difficult game I had played.
Yeah.
And so this was just like, you have cards and you can build a deck. I mean, the newness and the difference of it and just seeing that mana for the first time, I think, is what made me fall in love.
It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Is that sappy?
No, it was a little weird.
Sappy love story?
Ugh, gross.
Is your sweet tooth hurting because it was so sweet?
Do you celebrate week anniversaries with magic?
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah. Obviously.
We literally do. We literally sit down and record a podcast every week.
Report a podcast. Have you listened to my newest podcast?
Maria, I've told you I'm not interested in the types of fish.
Oh, it's not about fish, Megan. It's about cod pieces.
I'm still not listening. Anyways,
okay.
Also, thank you to all of the people who wrote in and told us the song that we were thinking of last week, which was Stop Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Wait.
Okay, so that was the song. Thank you to everyone who wrote in, because as soon as I heard it, I was like, yes! That was it!
There were so many options, too.
I know.
Like, that was not the one option. It could have been many songs.
But it was definitely the song I was thinking of.
Awesome.
It was great. Thank you all.
Everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for tuning in / viewing in. Remember, you can listen to this podcast on iTunes, magicallyamateuring.com, or you can head on over to the Professor YouTube channel at Tularean Community College and check us out there. We now have 3 video podcasts, 4 or 5 up there. We've got quite a few.
This is 3.
Yeah, this is 3, plus Magic the Pro of the Ring is up there with Eric Frolick.
Is this 4? This might be 4. I'm going crazy.
Well, counting the one that does not actually feature video of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But 3 with for real legit video.
Yeah. And if you haven't checked out our video, I mean, this is the week to do it. We've got a sweet background. And I knocked the back out of my chair somewhere in the middle of the episode.
See? So that's another Where's Waldo moment for you to figure out what when that happened.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, everybody who submitted questions this week and last week. And continue to keep them rolling in. We like to answer them on the show, you know, because... we're amateurs and we're trying to get better. And I feel like that's a lot, the story for a lot of people out there in the magic community.
And all of the questions that you always give us to think about are always so great. And I feel like just by being a little bit more introspective about the game, it helps us get better.
And remember, at Christmas week, we're going to have our Christmas special. Like we said, Nicol Bolas, hype, get hyped. He's coming back on. I'm really personally very excited. And if you want one of these awesome t-shirts that Megan and I are sporting right now, we actually tweeted out a picture of them on Twitter, and we'll do so again. Become a patron and support at the $5 an episode level for 3 months. And then you get the sweet stuff as well as a sticker, a wristband. You get to choose a topic for our show. We send you a thank you tweet.
Yeah.
And if you pledge at $10 an episode or more, you also get a playmat. So, So much cool shit. I mean, it's just a shitstorm of cool shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Except the kind that you want to be in.
And we'll tweet something out. So follow us at MTAcast when we put these shirts up for sale on our website, magicallyamateuring.com. You'll just be able to straight buy one. But also, you know, keep in mind that your support on Patreon means so much to us.
Yeah.
And it helps keep the show alive and keeps making it better every week. We just ordered some new gear that's coming in to make our podcast even better for you.
So someday we might not have to hold these microphones. What will that be like? I won't know what to do with my hands.
I know. You guys are in for so many more dirty hand gestures, you know? Inappropriate.
Really, that's the only thing that's been holding Maria back is the fact that she has a microphone on one hand.
I need 2 hands for most of these gestures.
So, you know, get ready for that.
Oh, brother.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for checking in for one more week. And until we see you next week, smell like a tree and look like a bee.
That old chestnut.
Classic saying.